Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. There are a lot of wonderful, great teachings in the Bible. There are a lot of things that are revealed to us in Scripture. There are a lot of things that God reveals to us personally. There are spiritual things that we discover, that we uncover, that we wouldn't normally have known had it not been for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. This is not a matter of intelligence or scholarship. It's a matter of revelation. We need God to reveal His truth to us. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was sent to do just that. To help us, to aid us as a people and as a church. It helped the disciples and the apostles that they might understand truth. We live in a day where there's very little acceptance of the truth. We have a lot of delusions out there. God has obviously sent among us a lot of strong delusions. People believe all sorts of things. I mean, all kinds of crazy things. Even in evangelical churches, even in Baptist churches, there's a lot of messed up theology. And people today have a hard time discerning the truth. Discerning the truth. It's scary. It's alarming. It's amazing sometimes. And as missionary Baptists, we are prone to be a little reserved about some of the things that the Lord has shown us. The world just doesn't understand spiritual things. Even the religious world doesn't really understand spiritual things. In the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus begins a series of parables to convey the spiritual aspects of His kingdom. He says pointedly and specifically in this reading lesson that He is revealing the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, parables, sometimes we have a misconception about parables. They serve two primary functions. Jesus taught in parables. It was prophesied in the 78th Psalm by Asaph, who wrote a psalm and said that the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ, would teach in parables. Jesus would do this many times to help us understand, but also to conceal information. He would just tell a common story about what was going on, things that they commonly saw. He would talk about gardening. He would talk about a treasure hunting, looking for a pearl of great price. He would talk about many things. He would talk about cooking, how leaven works, and a woman that would use leaven and the system that would follow. He would talk about agriculture and the mustard seed and how that this small little thing would grow into this great big trees that birds could rest in its branches. Parable after parable, just stories, just natural common things that had hidden spiritual profound meanings. And He did this not just to make the information easy to understand. He did this to hide the information from the Jews at large. And He states that. He states that very clearly in this reading lesson this morning. Parables were meant to reveal, so they had a revealing effect, and they also were meant to conceal. They had a concealing effect. One might say, well, why didn't it just Jesus, you know, tell them the spiritual meaning? Now, He did His disciples, and I believe He continues to reveal meaning to us today concerning these parables. One of the reasons was their warped understanding of the kingdom that He was going to establish. They had a misunderstanding. There were a lot of rabbis during that dark age, the dark age, or during the silent age, I like to call it. You know, God had gotten angry with Israel and didn't speak to them for 400 years. And so from Malachi to Matthew, there was silence. But There was still theological learning. There were rabbis that were studying. What was the Messiah going to do? What would his kingdom be like? And they wrote all these commentaries. And many of the students of the Jewish religion would read these commentaries of these rabbis that didn't have enough spirit in them to fill a thimble. And they became popular theological writings. Many in that day when Jesus came were looking for a kingdom that Jesus never intended to establish. It was already prearranged before the foundation of the world, the kind of kingdom that Jesus would set up. He was very plain, very specific at the beginning of his ministry. The first sermon that he gave, the very first sermon from the book of Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to chapter 7, we read about the thesis of his kingdom. This is the kingdom I'm going to establish. Jesus made it real clear what his kingdom would look like. All the intricate details and principles that would play out in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they weren't looking for that kind of kingdom. They were looking for something very different. Their rejection of the truth plunged them into darkness. You know, sometimes we build up a resistance to truth because of preconceived notions, ideas, information that we've embraced, and it's an embarrassment to relinquish something that we have stood so firmly for or against. And it's a matter of pride. It is a matter of pride. Pride goeth before the fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. There have been things in my ministry that I have taught, that I have preached, that I've had to denounce. I think all of us from time to time can, you know, get to going the wrong way when it comes to understanding truth. I believe Jesus is the way and the truth. I believe Jesus had perfect truth. The rest of us, sometimes we stumble into the darkness when it comes to understanding what is really the truth of God. And we need to be cautioned concerning that. There are a lot of people that are ever learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to begin reading in the first verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew, and I'm going to read at least one of the parables that he taught. He didn't give the interpretation of this till a little later in the chapter. But it'll lead us into the portion of Scripture that I want us to consider. We understand that the purpose of parables was to conceal and to reveal. There was a concealing effect and a revealing effect that was going on with each one of these parables. I'm sure a lot of people that read the Bible and read some of these parables, or if they would have heard them in the days of Jesus Christ, they would say, well, Jesus teaches some very interesting principles about agriculture, good principles about cooking, or good principles about if you want to invite people to a banquet and how to respond and how to fill a banquet hall. All these principles that they perceive are carnal principles, but Jesus was teaching some very profound spiritual stuff. And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat at the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you teaching this great multitude that's standing on the shore, so many of them, he had to use a boat as a pulpit. Why are you speaking to them? Why are you preaching to them? Why are you teaching to them in parables? Why, Lord? Why in parables? Now, there's something that the disciples had. They had some spiritual understanding, and I suppose they were anticipating that Jesus would just make all of these things real plain to them. Now, if he would have made them real plain concerning the mystery of the kingdom, they probably would have killed him a lot sooner than what they did. But he spoke to them in parables. And so he answers, this is the reason why. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, now I want you to note that, underscore that word hath, the ones that have and the ones that have not. The ones that have the mystery of the kingdom of heaven explained to them. They understand it. The ones who have not do not understand it. Do not understand its mystery. Do not understand these spiritual things. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. In other words, you move toward the light and you'll receive more light. Okay? Note that. As you examine this verse of Scripture, the more you move toward God, the greater revelation of God you'll receive. Now, I've experienced that in my own life. I hope you have as well. The older I get, the more I walk with the Lord, the more I try to live the Christian life and get close to God, I receive a greater spiritual understanding of heavenly things. It gets brighter as you get older. If you walk with the Lord and serve the Lord, it doesn't get darker, it gets brighter. And so he talks about this, that, you know, those that have, and we're going to examine that just for a few minutes, they have something. What is it? What do they have that makes it get brighter? What do they have that enables them to understand more and more of the spiritual things of God? What do they have? What is it that they have that others don't have? Now let's notice the those that don't have just for a minute, because he mentions that as well. He says this, but, verse 12, whosoever hath not, okay, these people are lacking in possession. They don't possess this. Whatever it is they don't possess, there's also an effect on them. Instead of them receiving more and more, they receive less and less. Okay, note that. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them. This is the reason, right here. There are those that have and there are those that have not. The ones that have received more and more and more and more. Those that don't have this thing receive less and less and less. The ones that have get more and more light. The ones that have not get more and more darkness. These are some profound scriptures. Now, it's still that way today. It was that day in the days of Christ. It's still that way today. Therefore, speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 6. He's saying this is being fulfilled. Now let me just note here what was going on in Isaiah's day in this 6th chapter. Isaiah began to pronounce great cursings upon the people of Israel for their debauchery, for their idolatry, for their sins, and all the things that they had done. He was pronouncing judgment. And the judgment that he was pronouncing upon them was because they would not hear and heed the preaching and the prophecy. And there's a judgment involved. The haves and the have-nots, they are either moving upward or downward. Every one of us here this morning, okay, every person here this morning, with the exception of the little children that cannot understand, you're either going to, in the course of this service, you're either going to be moving up or you're going to be moving down. You're either going to be moving toward the light and receiving more light, or you're going to be moving downward into greater darkness. Every person here, there's no such thing as being stagnant. When you, listen to me, when you hear the message of God and you reject that, it plunges you into greater darkness. If you embrace that, okay, if you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you receive the King that Matthew was presenting, he was presenting the King, I mean the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you embrace, if you receive the King as Matthew was presenting him, then you'll experience an upward climb toward greater and greater things. I'm thankful that there's a spiritual acceleration that occurs for those that come to God. I'm grateful, and he describes that. He explains that as we go through and proceed through this reading lesson. And I got a little worked up about that, but oh man, we are a blessed people. Man, I'm so thankful for what God has shown me. This acceptance of divine truth, this acceptance of divine truth is what brings a person into greater understanding. It is what they have. It is a personal decision that a person makes in moving toward the light. Now let me say something. I was a little hesitant about using the expression accepting. You've got to accept the things of God. But accepting Christ doesn't save you. Okay? It's just the first step in being saved. Listen, if you don't go all the way in accepting and embracing as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to be sons of God. If you don't proceed past that and repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ and be born from above, then you're still a child of the devil. You've got to be saved, amen? You've got to be born from above. It's more than an intellectual acceptance. I've said this many times. A lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. This thing is a work of the heart. It's a surrendered acceptance of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, children. You have to move toward God in order to be saved. The Bible says clearly that you have to come to God. You've got to believe the report. We noticed, I believe it's in the 12th chapter of John, This prophecy in the 6th chapter of Isaiah is used 4 times in the New Testament. It's quoted 4 times about people looking and seeing but not being able to see. Somebody be able to hearing but not being able to hear. And you can sit here and you can see me preach. You can hear me preach and not see the glorious spiritual things that I'm trying to declare. And you can hear but never hear with your heart and never be saved by the grace of God. When I was in industry working, I dealt with a had a guy that worked there who was deaf. I mean, he was deaf. He couldn't hear a thing. And a lot of people just ignored him because you couldn't communicate with him. And I thought to myself, I'd really like to tell him about Jesus and witness to him. And I was thinking, how am I ever going to communicate with him? So I tried to learn just enough sign language. And I found out they were saying a lot of bad words with sign language. And I picked up some of them along the way, because they were... But I was able to take sign language enough to tell him about how to be saved. What a sad state to be in. Have you ever known anybody that was blind? Couldn't see? Somebody who was deaf and could not hear? You could be right here this morning and not be able to see and not be able to hear. And the thing is, the more you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, the deafer and blinder you become. That's what happened to the Jews. Paul will talk about that. He said in the 9th chapter of Romans, they had some of the most amazing, wonderful privileges. They had the covenant. They had the law. They had the prophets. And yet if there's ever a clear case of blindness and deafness, it's still the nation of Israel today. Blind to the Messiah. Their Messiah that came. Amen? The Messiah of the Jews came. Jesus Christ is the true Messiah of the Jews. He's the only Messiah they'll ever have. And ever will be. Jesus at the very beginning, he was trying to tell people about how to get into his kingdom. I mean, that's what John the Baptist preached, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached the same message. The Bible says in Mark 1 that when John was thrown into prison, Jesus Christ began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or if you look up the Greek word at hand there is, I believe it's in the perfect tense. The right translation, but a lot of people don't know this, is the right translation is, repent, the kingdom's here. The kingdom is here. Perfect tense means everything's completed that needs to be completed. It's fully arrived. You know why it fully arrived? Because the king is here. And anywhere the king is, there's his kingdom. Listen, he was telling people, you must enter into the kingdom. You have to repent and turn from your sins. You've got to put faith in Jesus Christ to get into the heavenly kingdom. That's the message. That's a glorious message, isn't it? Man, that's the good news that Jesus saves and delivers. Message is, God has a kingdom, and he invites you to come out of the kingdom of darkness, be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He delivered us out of the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There has to be a spiritual transition that takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and puts you into the kingdom of light. You got to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You have to become a citizen and a member of God's kingdom. And that only happens in the new birth. Oh, what a spiritual blessing it is to be part of his kingdom. He said he's going to show them the mysteries of the kingdom. The word mystery means those things that are concealed, something that's not yet been revealed. Listen, this was firmly established before the foundation of the world. Let me show you that. Let's see. Look at verse 34 and 35, and I'll get back to the blindness and the deafness in just a minute. He said, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. That's at Psalm 78 and verse 2, Asaph, the Psalm of Asaph. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I like this part. Look at verse 51, hurriedly. Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you understand all this stuff?" And they said, "We sure do." Isn't that cool? Yeah, we get it. We understand it. Yeah, Lord, we understand all this. They had something that the other people didn't have. They possessed something that the other people didn't have. They possessed something that gave them spiritual sight and spiritual hearing. The other people were spiritually blind and they were spiritually deaf. It's frustrating sometimes, isn't it? Years ago, I helped in a debate. I was in my 20s. And I helped Brother Jerry Reynolds in debate over in Virginia. I drove all the way to West Virginia. Anybody here ever been to a religious discussion? They don't do them much anymore. But back in the day, okay, there were a lot of them. So there was a religious discussion over in West Virginia. I was responsible for the transparencies and doing the taping. And I was trying to help him. And I'll never forget his last speech. Wow. His last speech, he pleaded with people to just seek it out for themselves. Lay aside all your preconceived notions and your ideas. And he said this. He said, "If you will honestly and sincerely come to God, God will show up and he'll show it to you." Wow. He said, "If you have a sincere heart, if you really want to know the truth, if you're willing to accept and surrender to the truth that God reveals, and you honestly come to Him, He will show you His truth." Now, I've experienced a little of that myself, haven't you? He said this, I'll never forget it. And it was a discussion about baptismal regeneration, whether water baptism was necessary for salvation. And you can just assume he was talking or discussing this with. He said, "I don't care that you're adding baptism. I care that you're not saved, that you're not born from above. You know, because if you're trying to do it by works, if you're trying to get saved by works, you're lost. You got to have a work of grace in your life. You got to experience the spiritual transition that occurs deep inside of your soul that is only performed by God Himself." Wow. They had something. I'm not getting very far. Okay, the disciples had something where they understood everything. Every one of these, I mean, here was this simple story, but there was a profound spiritual message in it. And the disciples, who according to the book of Acts, other people considered ignorant and unlearned, but they understood the deep spiritual mysteries of God. And I've known some of those folks, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah, I've known some of those folks. Some of them didn't have much of a third grade or sixth grade education, but I tell you what, they understood some deep spiritual mysteries of God. They had something. What did they have? What did they have that the other people didn't have? Now, the ones that were the had-nots, okay, they had this spiritual blindness. Now, if you look in John chapter 12, where it talks about, where it's quoted, Jesus quotes this again, he begins before he quotes the sixth chapter of Isaiah and quotes the first verse of Isaiah chapter 53, which is, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now we know about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was talking about receiving the true message that has been sent down from God. And this always kind of gets people, and they just take it out of context, because in that passage in John, it says they cannot hear and they cannot see. Listen, if you're not willing to have a surrendered acceptance of the truth, you'll remain blind and you cannot see and you will not and cannot hear. You got to come to God. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? Yeah, yeah. You got to have an honest, sincere heart, and you got to come to God. Listen, my ministry has been quite simple. I don't expect people to just embrace the things that I say. I want them to go to God and see that it's the truth. I want them to experience something from God that reveals the gospel is the right thing, the true thing, the main thing, the important thing, and the only thing that will save them. So they were blind, and they could not see. He says, this is being fulfilled, which the prophet Isaiah said, which saith, by hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's hearts are waxed gross. That means they are fat. They're just full of other stuff. Their ears, their hearts are full of other things. The word gross in the King James is an archaic word. It should and could be translated, your heart's fat. There's so much there, the truth can't get in. Now that was what was wrong with the Jewish nation when Jesus came into His own and His own received Him not. They had a misunderstanding, their perception of what the Messiah would be like and who He was, they did not understand or comprehend, and they had so much misinformation in their souls, the truth couldn't get in. People's hearts are gross. You know, in this parable, He says that the thorns that came up, He said, they are a little later in the chapter, they're the cares of this world that choke the word. In other words, the gospel can't be effective in a heart that is filled with worldliness or with any kind of weed or thorns. It'll choke the truth. Well, their hearts are fat. So fat. Their hearts are so fat. That means they're so filled with this misinformation. Their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. They have closed at any time that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. And I should heal them. Well, I want to close. I plead with you this morning. You know, there's a lot of tricky people in the world. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, the Bible says. Jesus said that. He warned us, many deceivers have gone into the world. Be not deceived. He said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. He said that over and over again to us, didn't he? That's the first thing He said after He started giving us the information in the Matthew chapter 24. Be not deceived. A lot of false teachers in the world. A lot of misinformation. Well, how are you going to discern? between what is right and what is wrong. You know, early in my ministry, I wanted to be able to have the conviction in preaching that I was believing these things and teaching these things because they were right. And the first couple of years of my ministry, I did this personal investigation to all the doctrines and teachings because I wanted to believe them, not because I was taught them from somebody else, but I wanted to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had the truth. One of the greatest journeys of my life, man. I tell you what, wow. When I did that, God showed up. I'm afraid to explain it to you or try to tell you about it, I guess. Might scare some of you. But I'm telling you, God confirmed this is the way. And what He did for me, He will do for you. He is still God. We don't believe in deism. We don't believe God spun the world and stepped back out of the way. He's here. God is here. You move toward the light, you'll get more light. You reject the light, and you will plunge yourself into utter darkness. You're either today, right now in this church service, you're either taking a step upward or a step downward. Either ascending or descending. Based upon what I've just preached you today. In the book of Corinthians, Paul said this. This just blows my mind. It blows my mind every time I read it. It's in the second chapter of Corinthians. He said this, you know, what we do as preachers. He said what we say when we preach to people. For each one individually, go down the line. It's either a savor of life unto life, or death unto death. You're either taking a step toward life, another step toward life, or you're taking another step toward eternal death. He said, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? Your response to the gospel is important. It's extremely important. If you don't respond properly to the truth, then you will lose sight of the truth. You can sit in church your entire life and you can reject the truth of God with your heart and you'll never see, though it's all around you. You'll never hear, though it's in your ears constantly. Every Sunday morning it's in your ears. But you'll never hear because in your heart you have rejected the truth of God, the facts that you're lost and you need a Savior and you have to repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing. Listen to me. This truth of the gospel, every time it's taught, every time it's preached, it's either a fragrance in your life. You can smell it on people. Moving toward life. Another step toward life. I'm talking about eternal life. The other step toward life. Or another step toward darkness. You know, some people don't understand us teaching that people need to seek the Lord. You don't get saved by the act of seeking. No. It's a process by which you come to find the Lord. If you're seeking truth and you're seeking forgiveness, see, that's what they had. They had a desire. You got to desire it. You've got to want it. You're going to want to be saved. If you never want to be saved, you never will be saved. You're going to want to be saved. You're going to want to find God. You'll never know whether you're saved or not unless you seek after God. If you're confused, there's only one place to go, and it's to go to God directly. Amen? I can counsel you and I can, you know, do all this, you know, what I call coaching and, you know, all of this. And listen, if a man can convince you you're saved, another man can come along and convince you you're lost. But I'm telling you, you get something from God. You get the light of the glorious gospel to shine in your heart. The reason our gospel is hid is because the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. But I tell you what, when that light and glory of Jesus Christ shines deep down in your soul, you'll know you're saved. And all the demons in hell can't convince you otherwise. Because it came from God and not from men. Came from God, not from religion. The Baptist didn't save me. Jesus saved me. Listen, you're taking a step in this very service, either toward God or from God. Closer to getting saved or farther away from getting saved. Yeah. And it all depends on what you have in your heart right now. Whether you have a desire to find Him, a desire not to find Him. Desire to know Him, or desire not to know Him today. But listen, it's a dangerous thing to go away. To go away from Jesus. I believe He's calling you today to come. To come.